Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Monday Night Live, a.k.a. The Learning Center. Monday Night Raw. I said Monday Night Live, but it is Monday Night Raw. Here with your Sunday morning breakfast family, getting ready to kick off our final call of the week on Not Your Ordinary. And remember, this is our time to share with all of you all, so be prepared, questions, comments, testimony, scriptures, star five is going to be how you get on the line tonight. But first and foremost, let's go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Miss Candy.
How are you doing tonight, sir?
Wonderful. What about yourself?
I am too, sir.
Good deal. All right. So y'all got it. We are on our Monday Night Raw. We're just closing out the week, but to me it's not really a closing. It's really opening our eyes to new things that we, you know, need to challenge ourselves with in our daily lives. So we've been talking about this whole week, not your ordinary. You know, what we consider ordinary, God will put to good use, and that's very important. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're looking for God to do some extraordinary things when God has called on ordinary us to be the one to do that.
Amen.
Okay? It's like whatever you touch turns to gold. But what are you touching that has to turn to gold? That means God doesn't necessarily give you gold. The touch, the thought patterns, the lifestyle, the obedience makes it gold, and not gold in appearance. I'm talking about in how you value what God has given you. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? In other words, when we appreciate the blesser more than the blessing, now we'll begin to do extraordinary things.
Yes, sir.
Blank period. Ordinary people say, God blesses me, and I'm blessed and highly favored. But extraordinary people don't focus on the blessing. They focus on the one who blessed them because there's more to come. The blessing should go from your right to your left hand to their hand, and you're waiting. It's just like a chain reaction in an assembly line. It never goes to you. You got too much work to do. Ain't that something? Not your ordinary. See, ordinary people don't think the same way that extraordinary people think, y'all. Okay? And what separates ordinary from extraordinary? Your thought pattern and what you really believe. Miss Candy, you mind opening us up with prayer, please?
Certainly, sir. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for this call. Thank you for everyone that you've allowed to be here with us tonight, Lord. And as we go into another call, Lord, we pray that all hearts and minds are clear, Lord. We pray that we are all open to the word that you have to share with us tonight, Lord. Lord, give us a spirit of boldness and allow us to speak up as you have called us to speak up, Lord. Allow us to answer the questions in such a way that it lines up with your word, Lord. Lord, we pray that everyone on the call is able to receive exactly what you have prepared for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. So this week, we look, powerful week. Powerful calls. If you hadn't checked them out, go to SundayMorningBreakfast.org. But tonight we're about to dive in. And we have with us Miss Tiana. Miss Tiana, how are you this evening?
Good evening, Mr. Carr. I'm doing well. And yourself?
You got to get this unordinary phone. Now, that phone looks low.
That it is. But we are ready. We are right with you.
All right, you're going to turn that ordinary to extraordinary. Okay, I got you. There you go.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tiana, guess who's going to be with you on this evening?
Ooh.
This young lady by the name of Miss LaTanya. She didn't know it.
Okay.
Yeah, because God would take ordinary situations and do some extraordinary things, even though we didn't think we was ready, we are. So, Miss LaTanya, how are you this evening?
I am doing well, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How did you enjoy this call this past week?
I thoroughly enjoyed the call. It opened up the door for a lot of things because I always say how we have to learn how to see things through God's perspective. We see things a lot of times and we look at it only one-sided, so from a natural perspective. And in order to get to the level that God wants us to be on, we have to look at things from a spiritual perspective. So I appreciated a lot of the things that were brought up and just learning what distinguishes someone who's ordinary from someone who is extraordinary, but also how God can use whomever and whatever he wants to use just to really transform people's lives, but also how he uses ordinary people to bless other people. So very interesting, but very profound throughout the whole week.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Ms. LaTanya. Y'all, can I share with y'all right quick a real quick testimony? This is going to bless somebody. Let me help bless a lot of people. Let me help bless the saved folk. Saved folk, y'all on the phone tonight? I'm talking about the people that really believe in God. Let me help bless us. You know, the people who say we have a deep relationship with God. You know, the people who say we're under construction and we're growing in God. I'm talking about us Christian folk. Can I talk to y'all for a second? Good. Come on, Christian folk. Come on, watch this, Christian folk. I'm talking about everybody, myself included. You too, Miss Candy. You too, Miss Tiana. You too, Miss Artita. You too, Miss Brandy. Y'all check it out. Miss LaTanya. Y'all listen to this. This is how you know you're not ordinary. Although you're nasty or old or old wrinkled, old lazy, old lascivious, old ways that wanted to depart from obedience, tried to take over. This is how. When things don't go your way and you can still appreciate what God is doing, you're not ordinary. Let me be more specific.
Come on.
Let me be more specific. Can I do that for a second?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking to the people who are close to God, because watch it make you challenge yourself. See, you can't serve God being emotional. Does anybody agree?
Yes, sir.
Let me say this again. You can't serve God being emotional. Does anybody disagree? Okay.
No, sir.
What is the difference between us when we have a problem with someone and, as Candace said, I'll be talking about soul salvation. It's not soul salvation, Candace. It's actually God giving testimony. See, God will give you your message through what you go through on a daily basis.
Amen.
And she said, you know, it must be something you're going through. No. God allows you to go through so you can deliver your message. Ding, ding, ding.
All right.
Ding, 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 ding. See, we're not traditional. Keep that in mind, Miss Candy. Y'all, this is good. This is good. Watch this now. See, what I mean by that, in the Bible, there's parable. But Jesus was telling the story. And he talked about how men who owned the vineyard hired one worker. At an earlier time, that worker worked a total, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, of 12 hours for the day. He hired somebody else. That worker worked a total of, I'm paraphrasing, about 8 hours of that day. The other worker worked a total of about 4 hours that day. And then one worker worked about 1 hour. But all of them agreed to the same pay. They just didn't hear it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all okay with saying amen? Amen? Okay, good. Amen.
Amen. Let's do it.
What is the difference with the people who worked 12 hours and had an attitude with the one who worked 1 hour? What is the difference between them and us? If we're not supposed to be your ordinary, they got mad because Jesus, y'all know Jesus was the vineyard owner. I think y'all got to understand the parable and what he was talking. Hello? He said they worked. The vineyard worker, that was his vineyard. Who does the planting? Who does the watering? Okay, it was his vineyard. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Look, when you're working to God, you don't care about who else he hired, do you? Or should you? I'm trying to help us not be ordinary Christians. Watch this now. The ones who worked long said, I'm mad that this owner paid them the same amount. That means they was peeking into what, you know, they was looking who and they was ear hustling. What you worried about that person getting paid for? I thought you agreed to what you got paid.
Mm-hmm.
Christians, what's the difference between the one who worked 12 hours who got mad at the one who worked 1 hour? What's the difference between them and us? When God forgives somebody, no matter what they just did or didn't do, why then do you get mad when somebody who's Christian accepts them and you didn't?
All right.
Come on. Right.
Oh, man. Can we get an amen for real?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody forgive somebody that you still hate. Who got the problem, them or you? I thought you was called to not be ordinary. See, forgives all things. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongdoing. See, if you ordinary, you keep a record. Talking about you done hurt me 3 and 4 times. But tell me this, people, if my tonight is funny how you say forgive but don't forget. I'm about to preach a little bit, not too much. You say forgive and don't forget, but do you know, do you have record of how many times you done hurt God? Oh, you done forgot that one though, huh? So it ain't that you got a problem forgetting.
Right.
You just have a problem forgiving.
Come on.
Because you didn't. Lord have mercy. I ain't going to get no cooperation on this, Miss Kendra, but I'm going to say it anyway. Anybody want to press star 5 and tell me how many times you sinned against God this whole week? You don't even know because you don't keep working. But I bet you if I said how many times somebody hurt you, you can tell me like that.
True.
Yep.
I thought you wasn't called to be ordinary. I thought you was called to be extraordinary. God would take an ordinary situation and make it bad, where people will even call you a fool. But it's okay. It's okay. He also called you to be peculiar. You know, peculiar people do things that are not ordinary.
That's right.
See, people don't understand. Oh, Lord, y'all don't hear me. I'm talking to the Christian folk. Because, see, Christian folk are saved and sanctified. Holier than thou. Oh, Lord. Those are the worst folk. Because, see, they want forgiveness. They want to say they're next to God. They say hallelujah. They'll throw the word at you. But tell me this. How ordinary is your thinking when you can't forgive somebody?
Right.
All right.
Well, I know I'm challenging somebody, huh? Because this is Monday Night Raw, huh? You know, when you're supposed to be at odds, so they say you were supposed to be at odds with somebody who hurt you. What you mean they hurt me? That was a test. Oh, Lord.
Come on.
I don't think y'all see it, huh?
Come on.
That was a test. That's what I'm built for. That's what you're built for. You're built to be hurt. You're built to be hurt because you're not ordinary. If your master suffers, surely the servant will, the Bible says. In other words, I'm built to be hurt, but I'm built that way so that I can bear all this. Love bears all things. Did you hear?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I'm built that way. Too many church folk don't want to be the word. They don't want to be the mat. I'm fine with being that way. Guess who was the mat and who was the word? Jesus.
That's right.
Yes. He was built Tonka tough.
Mm-hmm.
He forgave people when they couldn't forgive themselves and when they didn't ask for forgiveness. The same people that you wanted to hurt, Jesus forgave. As a matter of fact, he said, Father, forgive them when they put him on the cross. He didn't wait till tomorrow. He did it right then and there. Hello. But if he forgives you right then and there, the problem is you don't forgive yourself. If he forgave people who put him on a cross, you don't think he'll forgive you if you did something wrong?
Come on.
And then you say, when people tell you, well, you're a sinner. Every time you sin, you put him on a cross. But didn't he forgive them who put him on a cross?
Yes.
Oh, truth from the devil here. Don't tell the devil, don't let the devil tell you half truth, get the whole truth. Can't be ordinary. And the reason I'm saying this is because Christians, if you can't look at a person who hurts you like God looks at them, I'm telling you, your ordinary ways are going to send you to an ordinary hell. Because people will start to scratch their heads and be like, how you just forgave somebody who did, they ain't do that against me. Do you not understand how many times I spoke ill will against God? Do you know how many times I lied on my taxes? Do you know how many times I stole from God? I'm bold enough to say it, are you? Okay, don't put yourself on the line. I put myself out there to make the example. So if God can forgive old trifling me, old ordinary me, and then use me, shoot, I can't do nothing but forgive.
Amen.
Ain't nothing special about me. I'm just as ordinary as the next person. What now is makes me different is the mindset. The sin, the stains of the sin are in the past. They're the same as yours. But see, what's different is I look at them as clean because the Bible says, be ye perfect. In other words, perfection comes by way of thinking, not by actuality of. See, people say, but see, I got to deal with the reality of. The reality is that you did mess up. That's your reality because my reality says, I'm clean.
Yes.
In other words, y'all, the reason why I said this is because ordinary Christians, ordinary folk, can't forgive people because we see stains in what they've done. But see, when you have an extraordinary way of thinking, hold on. That's the one I want to get closest to, because I want to know, let the sinner know that I'm no more important than you. You're not a sinner, baby. We both on this cross, but we both on the side of Jesus that says, God, I'm sin too.
Yes.
We ain't gonna be like the other man who was on the cross, who acted like his son was, his sin wasn't greater than theirs. When you start to embrace people that hurt you, they technically not hurting you. Who are you to hurt? The devil don't necessarily want to hurt you. The devil wants to hurt God. Get out of your ordinary way of thinking.
Amen.
Important enough to hurt, for the devil to hurt. The devil hurts us to hurt God. He can care less about us. Y'all don't hear me. Huh? Hello, somebody.
Yes, indeed.
You know, when you're trying to get that back at somebody, you don't necessarily want to hurt their kids. You just want to hurt their kids because you want to hurt the parent who hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, Lord.
So ordinary folk can look beyond the surface of what somebody did. But see, people who have a change of mind, they can say, that ordinary situation, I thank God for it. Because what makes them different than me? My sin ain't no, I have done, my actions may have not, you know, allowed me to do it, but I thought it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back over the scroll over your life, you see the very person who you say hurt you, you didn't hurt God the same way. Might not be the same actions, but if you look real close, you'll be like, yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
People don't hold grudges. Extraordinary people say, thank you, God, because what you just did was you showed me where I stand with you, where I can embrace something that other people will ordinarily turn their back on. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Didn't we embrace you? How many people turn their back on you? Answer that.
Okay.
And hold on. And rightfully so. You ain't no saint now. You know you done messed up. They rightfully turn their back on you. But God said what they look at as sin, I'm not your ordinary thinker. Remember, he said, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. In other words, I don't do things ordinary. I might look ordinary, but I don't do them in an ordinary fashion. So I'll send ordinary your way just so they can see the miraculous power of me, God says. Because ordinarily, people would turn their back on someone who hurt them. But good, I'm going to send that situation your way, and I want you to show them how it's supposed to be done. I don't want you to murmur. I want you to be fake and superficial. I want you to embrace them just like I'm embracing you.
Right.
Amen.
Not what? Christians? Not what? Because when it's about money, we won't have a problem with embracing people because we'll say it's about my money. I'm chasing that bag. I don't have to like you. I'm just going to go ahead and work with you. But when it is, I thought God was more important than money. So in other words, when it's about God, I don't care how I feel about you. I'm going to love you in spite of, because he loves me in spite of. And I want you to know there's nothing you can do that can hurt you more than I've hurt God, hurt me more than I've hurt God. So with that being understood, I'm the bigger guilty culprit here. I've hurt God more than you've hurt me. So I have to forgive you because I have to get forgiveness from him.
That's right.
But I don't want you to think that me forgiving you has everything to do with me being over you, because I would hope that you forgive me too, because my actions have not always been right.
Amen.
Not so ordinary, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we can't get out our own way, we in trouble.
Yeah.
If not, we got this old familiar, ordinary way of thinking. Miss Tiana, Miss Latonya. So can we get to it?
Let's do it, yeah.
Get to it. Miss Candy, you want to come with the first email question, please?
Yes, sir. It says, can I find favor with God by looking for extraordinary ways to be used by him?
Can I find favor with God? Say that again.
Can I find favor with God by looking for extraordinary ways to be used by him?
Miss Tiana, I'm going to start with you.
The word in that question that's getting me is by looking for. God's going to bring to you favor. So let's take a step back. We hear the phrase, favor ain't fair. all the time, right? Because God reigns on the just and the unjust. So God's going to give favor to whomever he will please. You looking for something doesn't do anything, because he's going to give to you what you need in the time that he's ready to do so. So by looking for the extraordinary, it's our job to make any and all situations extraordinary if we are walking in him. So can you find favor by looking for it? Be it. Do it. Don't go looking. Make it happen and allow him to lead you to and through. I hope that helps.
Ms. Candy, can you repeat that question for Ms. LaTonya, please?
Yes, sir. Question is, can I find favor with God by looking for extraordinary ways to be used by him?
Okay. I'm going to answer this by saying you can find favor with God, but it may not always necessarily be contingent upon the fact that you're looking for extraordinary ways to be used by him. It could just be for whatever the reason that God deems it to be. And as Tiana stated, we don't have to necessarily be looking. So we could be just being obedient, allowing ourselves to be used by God and find favor that way. And God can just grant us favor as he chooses to do so. So it's not necessarily contingent upon us looking for ways to be used by him, but I would say that you could. It's all dependent upon God and how he wants to, you know, distribute that favor.
Okay. Good answers. Okay. Can you repeat it one more time, Ms. Andy?
Yes, sir. Can I find favor with God by looking for extraordinary ways to be used by him?
I agree with what they both said. Can I find favor? I don't think that I don't believe, as a matter of fact, I know that we should not try and find favor. Okay, God disperses. The Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of God. To rightly divide the word of God. What he's saying is, you know, you give to this portion to Tiana what she needs, this portion to Shiren what she needs, this portion to Mr. Carr what he needs, that portion to Ms. Shabri to what she, so everybody may not get the same amount of pizza. Although,
right.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Somebody call?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, although Miss Shiren may be looking a little frail and like she's hungry, you can't go by emotions. God can still have her in that situation. You don't know if she's fasting, if he has her to fast. That don't mean you give her pizza.
All right.
So you don't find favor by trying to do extraordinary things, because then it becomes a game of cat and mouse. So now you're trying to seek out things to do to be extraordinary. And what happens in those situations is you try and find the most diverse situations that you think that you can overcome and be extraordinary in. But see, being extraordinary, God will put you in a hell hole, Joseph. And you might not see the extraordinary thing the next week, Joseph. It may be 20 years later, Joseph.
Right.
Like, God only gave me one favor this whole lifetime? No, you was having favor, but you didn't recognize it as favor, because favor rests on the shoulders of patience as well. Joseph.
Yeah.
You have favor because it sustained you. Because anybody else would have said, you know what, forget it. You just stood the course because you wasn't looking for extraordinary things to do, or you wasn't looking to be extraordinary. You was living it.
Amen.
Humility, you heard of the word? See, here's the next question, Ms. Candy. Can I combine it with yours? You know, this isn't a question, just it came to mind. Can y'all answer this? I'm going to start with you first, Ms. LaTonya. And this coincides with Ms. Candy's question that she got from the email. This is a personal question I have. Does humility and ordinary go together? I'm sorry, back that up. Scratch that. Does humility and extraordinary go together?
I would have to answer that by saying yes, because to be humble, to walk in humility requires you to go that extra mile, to basically yield yourself to God and, in yielding ourselves to God, that's not something that we can do in our own strength. So ordinary people operate in the way of saying, you know, I did this, I did that, and they want to take the credit for something. But when God steps on the scene, we allow God to use us is when we step in the realm of being extraordinary, and he allows us to be humble and walk in humility, to forgive the unforgivable, as we say, to love the unlovable, things like that. So I would have to say yes.
Okay. What about you, Miss Tiana?
Oh, I absolutely agree. Extraordinary folks, there's a quote I once found that says, stay teachable, no matter how much we know, right? Extraordinary folks always stay in that place. And you can only, if you are someone who's extraordinary and following up after God, you're always in a place in which he can continue to bestow upon you and be a teachable person in any and all situations. So extraordinary people, that's the only way they walk, is in humility. Pride does not come upon them because they're humble in everything that they do.
Okay. Absolutely correct. So those two perfect answers. So to finish answering your email question, Ms. Candy, can you repeat it one more time so I can tie that in?
Yes, sir. Can I find favor with God by looking for extraordinary ways to be used by him?
See, when you start to look for extraordinary ways, it determines, it's really contingent upon how are you looking. See, sometimes we seek things to do to be extraordinary, or sometimes we just keep our spiritual eyes open, and it's every day we've been extraordinary because of our humility. In other words, you know how some people just crazy, and I say crazy, talking about what a devil that I'm looking for? Baby, you don't have to go looking for him. He right there, trust me.
Right.
Oh, yes, indeed.
I'm talking loose at the lips. What's Satan that way at? You ain't that big and bold. Trust me, he ain't worried about you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The fight is already fixed. You don't have to fight it. But as soon as you jump your crazy behind up in that ring, now when you get knocked out, and somebody's talking about, now get up! Catch that two-piece from Debo here.
Yes.
You don't have to find extraordinary ways. Trust me. Your every step, your every thought is extraordinary, whether people see it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that we think that favor a lot of times comes by way of action and us overcoming. But actually, favor can be Job when you're going through.
That's right.
Amen.
Favor might not look like favor to the world, people.
Come on.
So, see, this is why we got to be very careful with these questions and how we divide the word of God, because you would have some people, here go this old nasty word, feeling bad because my situation don't look favorable like theirs. But your situation is favorable because God sent you there, Jesus, to the wilderness. You don't think that Jesus had favor when he walked in the wilderness? It didn't look like it to the natural person, but to the ordinary person, you know, to the extraordinary person, they say, I know what time it is. Have your way, God.
Amen.
Right.
Now what?
That's right.
That's why you got to be careful which set of eyes you're looking through. You're looking for faith. You're looking for things to do to find favor. Be careful. Because if you're spiritual, you find favor every day. You made it through today, right? You ain't lose your mind. Amen. Even if you did lose your mind, you're still standing, right?
Yes, Lord. Yes.
See, here's the word of God. Somebody snapped you on back, right? That's favor. How can I find favor, Mr. Carr, when they done just told me that my job is terminated? That's favor. Well, how can you call that favor? You don't know what God has got around the corner. Well, does that mean he's going to give me a raise? No, it might mean you might not have a job for the next 5 years. Around the corner means that you may need to get closer to him. So next time if something like this happens, you'll be able to encourage somebody else as opposed to somebody encourage you. Favor.
Yes. Amen.
You don't see that as favor? You don't think knowing God is favor?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Maybe if you didn't go through what you was going through, you wouldn't have found favor because you would have never found God. You find God on your knees, not standing. Believe that.
Amen. True.
Yeah? Y'all know what time it is?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, good. All righty. Let's get it. What we got next? Any emails? Any email questions out there? callers, testimonies, anything you want to share?
We do have a hand raised, sir.
Okay, what we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or comment for this evening.
Good evening, everyone. This is Mr. DJ.
Oh, Mr. DJ.
Hello.
Oh, you look. Now, Miss, that's favor. Mr. DJ, I didn't know somebody was pranking me on a call, but that old lying demon said that Mr. DJ phone wasn't working.
Yeah, exactly. And then God showed me favor. And I took this phone, and I was about ready to throw it through the window. And they reset that thing and got it right. I had to go a long way to get it, but I got it, and I'm on here. So I'm just blessed. And humility is what my little mini testimony is about, just being humble with a lot of stuff, with humility.
A lot of times
we go crazy with when something is wrong, like a crisis. But, no, you know, if you know your father, you know, and I'm going to say this, and I'm through. I just got off vacation with my child, and my daughter, when she's around me, she's not afraid of anything. Away from me, she's afraid of everything, her shadow, dogs, pigeons, everything. And I kept telling her, Mom, she's never like that around me. I said, she's never afraid of anything. And I, after talking with her, there was a biblical lesson in that. When I'm walking with my father, I don't fear anything. I don't. And as long as I got your hand, Daddy, it's all good.
Mm.
So that made me think about us. As long as we're walking with God, we're straight. You got your hand in his hand. Don't worry about it. Stay ordinary. See, it's when we try to jump off into something else is when it turns into a nightmare. I'm saying she's not afraid as long as she's with her father. I feel the same way when I'm with my father. And I'm not talking about my earthly father. See, that went over some people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is don't take your eyes off your father, not your earthly father, your spiritual father. You know, so that just taught me a lesson, so I just wanted to share that.
All right, Mr. DJ. Keep Mr. DJ on the line. Miss LaTonya going to rock with you. But, hey, I thought we, you know, that's what's up, though, y'all. And that's a testimony, seriously. I hope that everybody got I really do. You know, not your ordinary. And that's something to look at. Y'all, when we're apart from God, how lonely do you, that word, how lonely do you see yourself? How lonely do you? I hate the word, but I'm going to use it for this feel. And the reason, let me explain something, Mr. DJ, right quick.
Yeah.
The reason why I hate the word feel is because feel is tied into your flesh and your emotions.
Okay.
And our emotions can steer us away from God if they're not controlled.
Yeah. Amen.
The Bible tells us to control ourselves. Self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to be very careful, because I know we got some emotional people talking about, now see, I don't agree with that. What you mean? God gave us emotions. God gave us knives, too. He gave us guns and a whole bunch of stuff. Did you use them?
Right.
I'm saying, let's be clear about this. Emotions can get us in trouble. Emotions almost got Jesus in trouble. This is why I say I don't like it, because had Jesus been emotional, he'd have never got on the cross.
That's right.
Amen.
So our emotions should never override our obedience and alliance and loyalty to God. Just keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's okay that you have them, but please make sure they sit in the back seat. Never let them drive.
Amen.
Mr. Carr, can I share a testimony that aligns with that?
Of course.
I look at it when I first, you know, started my journey with Christ. I used to complain, right, that why don't nobody want to speak to me? We're my friends. Nobody wants to hang anymore. No one wants to talk anymore, because all I was talking about was him at that time. You know, first-time Christian, you celebrating all the time about God and sharing everything about him. And they started to slowly disappear. But, man, when I realized that I didn't need all of that extra, because it really was extra, because they weren't talking spiritual stuff. They were talking a whole lot of noise, and realized that in my presence all the time was God, then I didn't have to look for anybody else to complete me. I didn't have to look for anyone else to make that situation whole, because God was right there. So with my hands on him, I absolutely don't have to worry about whom is around, what's going on, and all those things. So I can live humbly in knowing that my friend, that's what he calls us, right? Friend, my father, my savior, all of that is always present. And no one else matters in those situations.
Miss Tiana, let me piggyback on what you just said and what Mr. DJ just said. Y'all, how many, and this is staying on topic to what Mr. DJ just said, as we're talking about Not Your Ordinary. Okay, this is the SMB Monday Night Raw, the Learning Center. Okay, what God, what we consider ordinary, God will put to good use. How many times have y'all used this scripture to get through when you was afraid? Yea, though I walk. Y'all know the rest?
Through the valley of the shadow of death.
I fear no evil.
Mm-hmm. For thou art with me.
I rock and I
they comfort me.
Talking through, you put yourself in. You know this, but you still called out on God, and that gave you strength. Gave you courage. So, in other words, like Mr. DJ just said, we're not ordinary. Because people don't understand the tone and the tongues in which you talk. It's not just that you're speaking in tongues, but they don't understand the language.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, that's talking to your spirit, man. Although my natural want to be afraid, Dad, I got your hand. You promised me, so I'm going to bring you with me. Who are you? Your word. Let's talk. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Guide my son up through this thing. And before you know it, you come out on the other side unscathed.
Amen.
That's right.
I mean, your flesh may be jacked up, but your spirit man said, thank you, Daddy, for having my back.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right.
Simple enough? Because you're not ordinary. Your way of thinking got you through those situations of fear. If it worked for you then, please involve your daddy everywhere you go now.
Yes.
That's right.
Fair enough. All right, let's get to the next email question. I got one, Miss Candy. This is directly for you. Miss Candy Brooks. It says, is there a difference between extraordinary and peculiar? And if so, please explain.
Well, when people normally say that someone is peculiar, that's two different ways that you can look at it. Because, of course, when we're kids and stuff, we say peculiar to mean weird, and it has a negative way about it. But when we're speaking Christian, we're talking peculiar, set apart. So if someone is peculiar, then they're set apart, they're doing different things, and it's not a normal, everyday type situation. Extraordinary can be seen in the same light because that is someone who's not doing the ordinary, everyday things as well. I think that we can look at them a little bit different and not just put them in line with each other. And the reason why is because usually when we are extraordinary and when we're being used in extraordinary ways by God, it's not something that we have to put on ourselves. It's not something that we are necessarily talking about. But we hear a lot of times people are saying, I'm set apart, I'm all of this. So it all is in the same bag, but it still has different little sets of meaning to it, and it's mostly because of what we put on top of it, not necessarily that it's something different in and of itself.
Action.
Yeah.
Mr. DJ, I'm going to let you chime in on that one. What's the difference between extraordinary and peculiar?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. Extraordinary are things that are unimaginable. They're sensational, and they're above and beyond ordinary.
Gotcha.
More so a positive thing. Like there's a normal, and then there's above normal. That's extraordinary. Peculiar? Peculiar could be different, not usual. It may not necessarily be bad, but it may not necessarily be good. But it's definitely different, unusual. You know, some may say strange, but it's definitely not usual.
Hey, they on it tonight, y'all. I'm gonna go to Miss Latonya. Miss Latonya, what's the difference between? I mean, they hitting right on it. What's the difference between peculiar and extraordinary?
Well, I agree with both of them. Extraordinary is just that extra. So something that's exceptional, it's outstanding. I think, as it was stated, just incredible in a sense, and gives you that wow factor. Now, when we say peculiar, that can be the same thing, but it just, I go back to perspective. So I guess it's, you know, subjective how you look at it. Peculiar, you know, one may say, well, it's strange, it's odd, or just abnormal, just not ordinary, which would be out of the ordinary or could be considered extraordinary. So I think, you know, you could, it depends on your perspective. So you could look at it and say it's the same, but then a different perspective would say that it's totally different or not so much the same.
Okay. What about you, Ms. Tiana, real quick? What you got?
Yeah. The way I look at it is you can be peculiar, but that doesn't mean you can be that you are extraordinary. And it goes back to, as Mrs. Hine was saying, on perspective, because someone in the world can see those who go to church every week, pay their tithes, do everything that they're supposed to do as peculiar. But they still aren't extraordinary in the light of God, as just as those who go above and beyond and is focused on what God calls them to do, your regular church goer may consider them peculiar. But in reality, they're walking. They are extraordinary. So it really looks at the, it depends on that lens.
All y'all answers were correct. Okay? Not your ordinary. All the answers are correct with that, because the difference, as Mr. DJ and Miss Candy and Miss Latonya and Miss Tiana just put it, y'all, you know, like Mr. DJ just said, you know, one can consider to be positive and the other one basically condescending. I mean, extraordinary is positive in most people's eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary is literally taking the norm, and whatever your norm is, it's something you're familiar with, or they do it exceptional. They do it much better. Or what you're familiar
mm-hmm.
with. On the opposite end of that, like Ms. Candy just stated, you know, being peculiar is something that's weird. It's not familiar. But some will take peculiar as negative, and some will say, something peculiar about you. I don't know what it is. In other words, I'm not familiar with it, but it's still something peculiar. That don't mean that it's negative.
Right.
Okay? The world doesn't look at peculiar as extraordinary, because the world only operates in what's familiar.
Right.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Yes.
That's what the world operates in. Anything that's peculiar to the world is bad. For instance, you don't know me, DJ. You can't tell me nothing. You don't know me like that. How many of y'all have said that, heard that? Somebody around you have said it. You don't know me to be talking about me. Well, do they have to know you, or do they have to recognize the spirit?
I'm right.
So the world says DJ is now a threat. He's judging. You know how we say, don't judge me? What you're saying is, because I'm unfamiliar with him, how can you even put your mouth on me? Oh.
Come on.
Y'all, this is why we miss God. Because the very peculiar thing that God sent your way, it can be an extraordinary thing that he's about to do to help you out. In other words, that peculiar person can help you be extraordinary if you allow him to break your norm.
All right.
Did y'all catch that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And wasn't
God
Christ
will use weird things. That's what peculiar is, right? By definition, weird, strange.
Yes.
Odd, funny, curious, bizarre, unexpected, unfamiliar, abnormal. God would use weird things to make extraordinary
yes.
situations, right? Moses and the staff, rice spitting in the clay. Peculiar.
That's right. Christ was peculiar and extraordinary.
Y'all see it?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
exactly.
Yes, he was.
But watch this.
Yep.
Just by chance, not your ordinary. If by chance the ordinary person allows the peculiar in their life, watch how God can make it extraordinary if you allow peculiar to be around you.
All right.
Amen.
On the flip side, Christians, we say it's something peculiar about their spirit. Something ain't right with that. But here you go. You're extraordinary in your own eyes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
For the most part. So because you call yourself Christian and you say God has blessed you, you know, you're blessed and highly favored, that means you're extraordinary. You're exceptional. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes we have to digress. Go back to the basics. Even you, Christians, if you allow peculiar around you, you too, we too can learn. In other words, this stuff might not be right about that situation, but God, if it, you touch me and help me, maybe, just maybe, you sent that peculiar thing that's not in you around me so that it can feed off of me to get what I got.
Yes, indeed.
We don't have patience with things that are peculiar, Christians, like God had patience with us. Because, see, the Bible says to befriend the world is to be an enemy of God. In other words, when you don't look, think, talk like God, guess what? You become weird to him, peculiar. As a matter of fact, in the day of judgment, did he not say, I will say, depart from you, depart from me, I never knew you? In other words, if God never knew you, you can't be familiar, which means you are peculiar to him.
Right.
That's right.
For how many days we walk around this earth being peculiar to God, and we think we extraordinary? You're extraordinary as a man unto yourself, but who are you to? See, that's the last thing in the world that we ever want to be is peculiar to God.
All right.
If he said, I never knew you, you think he lied? He ain't saying that just to save faith and make it sound good. If he said, I never, when God says whatever he says, he means what he says. I never knew you? That means he don't know you now if you acting a fool.
Mm-hmm.
That may mean this, Miss Candy. Some days you in God, some days you in the world. But see, when God called you, you was in the world. So see, he never knew that spirit, but that's the spirit you chose to ride with. And that's the one he never knew. So watch, it take the whole soul somewhere that it shouldn't or wouldn't want to go.
All right. That's right.
So there's the difference, y'all. Peculiar and extraordinary. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. DJ, Miss Candy. Any email questions, any other questions, testimonies that we have out there?
We do have a caller, sir.
Okay.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or comment for this evening.
Good evening, everybody. I have a question. Can an ordinary mindset be a generational curse?
Hello. Can an ordinary mindset, if I'm not mistaken, that's what I heard, be a generational curse?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. LaTanya, and then I'm going to go straight to Ms. Tiana, then Mr. DJ, I'm going to let you answer. So, Ms. LaTanya?
I would answer that by saying yes, because as we learned in the past, generational curses are things that can be passed on from generation to generation. So the way that we think, the way that we speak, the way that we act, you know, just how we live our lives, be it saved or not saved, a lot of things become attached to us because of our upbringing, because of, you know, things that our families did, you know, prior to us, and just things that have been instilled in us. So more or less things that we could rid ourselves of, but we have to yield ourselves to God. So as we've been talking about, that's what extraordinary people do. And God can use the ordinary, but we have to be obedient. And the way that those things can be cast down is in and through God, and that's the only way. So that's not something that we can do in our own strength. So I would have to say yes.
Okay. What about you, Ms. Tiana? Can a generational, can mindset, I'm sorry, I don't, repeat that call, because I'm thinking about Ms. LaTanya answer, because she answered it so well.
Yes, sir. Can an ordinary mindset be generational curse?
Ms. Tiana?
I'm sitting back here and I'm thinking it could be used as an excuse, an ordinary mindset as a generational curse, because that's what my mama said, that's what they told me. Whereas no matter what,
We talked about extraordinary this week, in that that's going above and it's going towards what God is calling you to do. So if you're staying in that ordinary mindset, it's because you're making that choice and you're using it as an excuse because that's what grandma and them said. And that should not be the case. So I am a little torn on this one because is it a generational curse? Because that's all that you heard? It could be. I'm at the point of that's because you're choosing to allow it to be.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Mr. DJ, can an ordinary mindset be a generational curse?
I'm going to take the other road and say no. And the reason why I'm saying no is because to have the mindset of ordinary is a blessing. It's making you humble. If my grandfather was a humble man, a man of service, and my father was a man of service, I would be happy to be a man of service. I look at it and say no because not a curse. Now, mindsets are different. I don't know the way that you want to look at it, but ordinary is something that we shouldn't be ashamed of being. And we downplay it so much as to the reason why we end up going to the opposite of ordinary, which gets us in trouble with God. So I don't think that we need to say, well, you don't need to have an ordinary mindset. You can't. There's no balance. Either you are or you're not. You know, either you're going to be extraordinary or ordinary. There's no median in that. You have to be humble with God and let him use you, because if he's the one in control, you will never go wrong. You may not understand how you get there, but you will get there. So that's what I'm saying. I say it's not a curse. I wouldn't call it a curse. Let me say it like that. I think it's a blessing. I wish some more people would be, you know, humble enough to call themselves ordinary. You know, like who are, you know, one piece of dust better than the other piece of dust. You know, let me get that for you, or let me do this or that. Just imagine, if you will, if you guys that are disagreeing with me, just imagine if everybody was humble towards each other. What kind of world would we need? Police? Would we need jail? Would we even need court? If everybody just had a humbling spirit towards each other, towards your fellow man, your fellow woman. What, I'm just saying, just imagine that, if you will. Everybody was just ordinary. You didn't have to worry about this person being a superstar or this billionaire or any of that. You know, everybody was pretty much the same and even. What would that even be like? You know, I'm just saying, imagine that. I don't think that would be a curse.
Mm-hmm. The Bible says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got that. The question was, can you repeat that, please?
Can an ordinary mindset be a generational curse?
Can an ordinary mindset be a generational curse? Y'all, it absolutely can be a generational curse. For instance, okay, like Ms. Tiana said, it can be used as an excuse. But the reality is, can I help us out? If your parents, Ms. Tiana, your parents, Mr. DJ, my parents, Ms. Latonya, your parents didn't know of God, and all you knew was being thuggish and ruggish and hood. That's all you know. Is that an excuse? Or that's your reality? That's all you know. That's all you know.
Mm-hmm.
You remember we just talked about it last night, the man who was born blind. That's all he knew was blindness. He had nothing to compare it to.
Right.
Let me help us out right quick. Okay? Let me help us right quick. Poverty can be a generational curse. The mindset,
correct,
an ordinary mindset can be a generational curse. Your version of being clean, your home being clean, Mr. DJ, is different from Miss Tiana's version of being clean. But to her, is not ordinary. To you, it is. To her, she's doing a great job. To you, no way, Jose. Y'all got to hear this now. This is why God said he will meet you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
When he said the poor will be amongst you always, he's making the variation of what lacks in him or not. See, when he said poor, he's talking about those who lack God will be with you always.
Right.
Who lack God's resources. If you lack God's resources, it's because you ultimately lack him. How can you have God if he not come with resources?
Amen.
Talking about spiritual resources, not natural.
Right.
And the mindset, be a generational curse. Of course. If your mama, your grandmama, everybody was born over there and nobody, you know, knew how to get out or even thought about trying to get out because that was the norm. As a matter of fact, wherever you stay, I stay in Louisiana. Louisiana, is stagnant. How do I know this? Because I see other states, other cities. But if I never knew of other states and other cities, this would be great to me. Does that make me, you know, a generational curse because I have the same mindset, because I refuse to go because my mother's here, my father's here? Everybody's here, so why should I go away from them? To me, my mindset is not ordinary. I mean, it's not, you know, unexceptional, in other words. What's wrong with it? But to Tiana, who travels, she'll say, there you go, that old ordinary mindset that gets you nowhere because they're hiring over there in Atlanta where DJ is, but you don't want to move. And I say, Atlanta? What is Atlanta? I don't know what that is. Y'all hear me. Hear me good now. I saw an interview with the lady, Omarosa, that's her name?
Yep.
Okay. Well, she said this one, and some people do have this mindset, okay? It's ordinary thinking of, you know, a generational curse. Some people have the mindset that people are stuck in their projects because they choose not to get out. And I dare you to try God because that is not right what you say. Some people try to get out and can't get out. The odds are not in their favor.
Right. So true. That's right.
I challenge you. And please don't be like Miss Omarosa with all due respect to her. But don't be like that. Because she said, if I made it out, surely you can. But I'm a wrestler. We don't know all that you did to get out. You may be a little behind.
Right.
The Bible said the uncompromising word of God. Y'all hear me? So can the mindset of somebody be a generational curse? Of course it can. Surely it can. Because we think alike. It's generational. You know, we are all, you know, Mr. DJ, what's your last name?
Arnold.
We are all Arnold, so you know the Arnold way is this way, son. And ordinarily, this is how we do it. There can be a generational curse that says tradition all over it. Because we go by our ordinary way of thinking, tradition now sets in. It can be a generational curse because who am I to break the code of Arnold's?
Right.
My daddy did it, my great-granddaddy did it, and I hold on tradition. That is a generational curse, people. That's called tradition, isn't it?
It is. That's right.
That's why the Bible says the tradition of man nullifies the power of God. What makes a tradition?
Right.
Your ordinary way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's a generational curse. That's not an excuse. That's for real.
Yep.
If you think I'm lying. Anybody healthy on this phone, eating healthy and stuff like that? Go and take your healthy eating self to your mama house, who was raised in the country, and see why they can look at you like you're crazy if you tell them not to put sea salt in that stuff, season and all.
Yes, indeed.
People say now that you have elevated your way of thinking, but how did you elevate your way of thinking? By coming out of that situation. How did you come out of that situation? You understand? You didn't elevate your way of thinking until some things started to change, and then you saw better. People don't know already have people. That's a generation. Can't be broken, but they are absolutely real.
Yes.
So please, before we say that that's an excuse, please, people, be very careful. Because, see, the only way you know God is by what you have been taught. But what, see, maybe 15 years ago, you didn't know God like you know God today. But, see, then the light shined on you. So should somebody say you're just using that as an excuse that you don't know God? Please don't. The Bible says my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Do you really know who came here first? As a matter of fact, all our life we thought Christopher Columbus discovered America. Should we say that's an excuse that we thought the white man discovered this land? Hello. It wasn't until you learn better to where you can take out that garment of ordinary thinking, because it was a generational curse that we were governed by white school books that told us a lie.
Right.
True.
Now that we're older, this generation is more bolder, and people are standing up and staying woke. Now the generational curse is being broke. In other words, you can't deceive us, Satan. So, yes, the lack of knowledge is a generational curse, because the one who's a slave driver, the one who's an oppressor, will keep you in the dark.
Right.
Because when you're cursed, I can rule over you easier. Mm-hmm. So the ordinary mindset is a generational curse, but who's willing to break those people who have ordinary way of thinking, whether they're in a project or anything, as opposed to putting them down and saying, that's an excuse. Why don't you say, baby, you can do better than that? As a matter of fact, not only can you do better, I'm going to help you do better. Now you're giving them light. You know, when somebody told you Christopher Columbus didn't discover America and they started to shed light on you, now you're stronger and you're better, won't you do that to them so you can break their generational curse because somebody broke yours?
Right. Amen.
Absolutely is a generational curse. Don't put that on somebody because that's all they know. Please don't do that, because then that's the form of judgment God doesn't like.
Mr. Carr, for those of us that are on spiritual milk, can you break down, you said something that was, I can hear people.
Go ahead, man. What you got?
can you break something down, the difference between discipline and ordinary and knowledge? Those are three different things. And like I said, for those of us that are on spiritual milk, can you break that down for those?
So you're saying break down the word discipline, the word ordinary and knowledge?
Ordinary and knowledge, yeah, because they're not all in one as people think they are. Like,
okay.
What's ordinary, your mindset could be ordinary, not in the sense that you're being disobedient.
Okay.
There's a difference between, you know, David was ordinary.
Yeah.
You know, when he was asked to fight Goliath, he didn't say, hey, I'm not going to do this. Well, he stepped up and volunteered. What I'm saying is discipline is something different than ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
And knowledge is king, but you got to be disciplined to even receive knowledge.
Right. Okay. So what DJ is saying, and it makes perfect sense, you know, y'all, this is our SMB Monday Night Raw. Okay, not your ordinary. So ordinary, we know what ordinary is. Ordinary is pretty much familiar. Okay, you look familiar with the words. For the most part, you have two ears, two eyes, a nose, two lips. Ordinary. What's the norm? That's your ordinary. Correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So ordinary is to some the standard, or to some others the average.
Right.
Okay? Ordinary. All right. Discipline, it gets a little deeper now. Discipline is when you have to check your ordinary standards.
Mm-hmm.
You can't discipline ordinary unless you have knowledge of how to.
Amen.
Right.
It's impossible. To be a disciple of God, you got to have knowledge of what you're following.
Mm-hmm.
The root of discipleship is discipline. You can't discipline something that does not follow the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. The truth brings knowledge. The truth brings knowledge. Knowledge is actually the gateway to discipline. You can't discipline something that you don't think is unruly. I mean, that's not unruly. In other words, if you have bad kids and you don't view them as bad kids, why would you discipline something that you have no knowledge of being bad? You see it as being normal, ordinary.
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm. Got it. He asked for the three, right? Prime example, in the United States of America versus China or Japan. Ordinary over here is that a child can dance and do all Michael Jackson steps and Chris Brown steps at the age of 5. But we don't want them to go to school because they say they need vacation time. But ordinary in China and Japan is that they go to school 365.
Right. That's right.
Okay? That's their ordinary. Okay? Why is their ordinary seemingly to be better than ours? Because somebody got revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. God, thank you for revelation. In other words, we're saying, God, thank you for knowledge. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. So thank you for knowledge, because if you don't have knowledge, you perish. That means, what can you discipline? And God disciplined those who he loved. In other words, those who he have knowledge of. Therefore, if God don't know you, how can he discipline you?
Come on. Right.
How does God discipline you? Here's the key. If you abide in my word and my word abides in you, to discipline yourself, to abide means to follow. Do y'all catch it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, sir.
Ordinary people don't see it that way. So ordinary people don't see the variation. They say that the people in Japan and China are crazy. But see, we treat school just like we treat God. We take a lot of vacations. So therefore, who is disciplined on vacations? Because you get up when you want to. You spend how much you want to, even though you don't have it. Why? Because you have no knowledge of what tomorrow may bring. Make sense?
It does. Yes, it does.
The Bible says that we should renew our minds daily, right? The Bible says,
yes.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Ordinary people don't think that discipline is necessary. As a matter of fact, they think that it is harsh. But people who have knowledge say that discipline is necessary. Because if you don't discipline your child now, it's going to bite you in your behind later.
Mm.
That's what separates you. That causes you not to be ordinary, because you have knowledge which says, I enforce discipline, period. Not only on my children, but on my own self. And that discipline keeps me in line with God.
Amen. Amen.
That makes sense? For those who may not have understood the three?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you got them now? Discipline, knowledge, you know, and just simply being ordinary. When you develop a relationship with God, the knowledge that you gain from God causes you to discipline. This is why the Bible says you will be able to judge yourself and no one else can judge you. Why, Miss Candy? Because you can discipline yourself. Who's really disciplining you? God, the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if y'all got to listen to this, if you don't know it, it can't discipline you, because then you'll say, you don't know me, God. You can't tell me. In other words, you are one who lacks discipline, and you don't want nobody else to discipline you. In other words, you just choose to be ordinary. See, when people say, you don't know me, I'm glad Nathan didn't get that answer from King David. You don't know me, Nathan. Thank you, Lord, have mercy. Okay, so we, with that foolery, but just as ordinary as a person who walking straight to hell gates and saying, open up. If God sending you somebody, whether they're wrong or right, there still may be a checkpoint to help you look at yourself. How about that? Because I didn't think that a police had to know you to give you a ticket. You broke the law.
Yeah.
So, oh, Lord have mercy. I ain't going to start that
mm-hmm.
up.
Okay.
They don't have to know you to give you a ticket. They'll just look at what you was doing.
Exactly.
Okay? So you don't have to know somebody to tell them, hey, you're breaking the law. You don't have to know them. But ordinary people don't understand that, because they lack knowledge and they definitely lack discipline. All right. With that being said, okay, I hope some, Miss Candy, do we have anybody else?
No, sir.
Okay, y'all, look, let's go ahead and pray. Mr. DJ, you pray for us, please.
Yes, sir. Bow your heads. Open up your hearts. Dear Father God, we come to you as humble as we know how, Father. We come to you to say thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for broadening our horizons and giving us this food to feast on, this spiritual food, Father. Please bless it, multiply it, let it manifest and grow within us, and let us be able to pass it on, pass those same recipes of knowledge on to those who are in need. Father, help us to grow as a family and continue to keep us on this path that I pray and keep us safe, Father. In your Son Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.
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 Great night. I hope this message, you know, resonates with us, okay, because it's very important, not your ordinary. Okay, what we consider ordinary, God will put to good use. Keep that in mind. Okay, don't put others down. Don't put yourself down. God wants to use them, and he definitely wants to use you. Okay, because we're not more important than them. Okay, we ought to be pursuing peace with everyone, y'all. This is very important. So, because we're not ordinary people. Okay, and what makes us different or makes us extraordinary, Mr. DJ, is our mindset. Okay, when the mind changes, everything else shall change the way we look at it around. All right? Y'all have a great night. Catch us on Wednesday for Bible study. Make sure y'all bring a friend. We'll see y'all then.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.